So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram went to Lot. "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself and the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and set up his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from them, the Lord said, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, you are just full of grace and mercy to us. Though we have sinned against you greatly, yet you have remained faithful to us. And you have blessed us and poured out your grace and mercy to us. Even this day you have provided our daily bread. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would provide our heavenly bread, that you would guide and direct the preaching and the hearing of your word to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We've all heard the expression, "Don't judge a book by its cover." Don't judge a book by its cover. Now this can mean two things. One, that either the cover is nice and shiny, but what's inside ain't worth a dime. Or the cover is awful, smudgy, moldy. But what's inside is glorious. This is kind of the situation that Abram and Lot were faced with. We are told in the scriptures, do not walk by sight, but walk by faith. In other words, don't walk according to what the book looks like, the cover of the book looks like. Instead, ingest and live off what the book itself is saying. Paul puts it this way. He says in 2 Corinthians, fix our eyes not on what is seen, meaning the outward cover of the book. Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Therefore, we live by faith and not by sight. That visible reality, the reality of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, can only be perceived through the way Christ himself says. It's not in looking around at everything. Instead, the kingdom of God is found in the scriptures and in people's reaction to the scriptures. Why are you here today? Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you want to honor Christ? All those things are outward manifestations of the kingdom of God in your life. You can't see Christ, but you can see the fruit of Christ through the Holy Spirit working in your life. Difficult times, but you're at peace. Why is that? It is because the kingdom of God is upon you. It is because the peace that passes all understanding is upon you. It's kind of like an X-ray machine. You know, an X-ray machine. I work at the hospital up in Hendersonville. X-ray lets you see what is underneath, okay? It lets you see what's underneath the skin. The leg or the arm, it's broken. Can't see it out outside, but you got to go inside. And we see that it's broken. So it is with the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. You see something, I don't quite understand it, but I go to God's Word, and God's Word opens up my eyes, opens up my heart, that I may see what Christ is doing in this particular situation. The writer to the Hebrews says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You can't see it, but man, I am assured of it. I can't see Christ on the cross. Some people did. We didn't. But by faith we receive it. And we believe it to be true. It's interesting that it is this faith, being able to see the invisible, that Paul then writes, when I am weak, then I am strong. What does Paul mean by that? When I am weak, then I am strong. What Paul is referring to is that when he has no resources, no money, no companionship, no army to protect him, when he has nothing, humanly speaking, that he can depend upon, and he's only depending upon God's Word, Paul says, that's it. That's when I'm strongest, because I am relying upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Now, there's nothing sinful about having wealth or good health or even having an army to surround you. Nothing sinful about that. But Paul makes it clear that our faith does not grow in those situations. Our faith grows in the situations of being weak, because then we only have Christ to depend upon, and that's exactly where Christ wants you to be. Just like a good father always wants the best for his children, Christ always wants the best for you. And most of the time, Christ uses situations, providential situations, where you have to believe God's word and God's word only. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul and his companions, Paul writes and says that we're faced with death. I mean, that's how dire this situation was for Paul. He says, this is it. Going to be with Jesus. I'm fixing to be killed. It's bad. But then providence changed. And Paul and his companions were delivered. And Paul says, you know, that situation, Christ brought that situation about to teach me to learn and trust in Him and Him only. He brought me into a weak situation in order then that I would be strong in Christ. But sight that tells us that wealth and health and prosperity are what we really need. Well, that's not the way it's been for the saints. The psalmist writes, says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing that I desire but you. My flesh and my strength may fail me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, that was our responsive reading this morning. Now what you need to do is go back to the Psalm 73 and see what he was talking about. And he is in a bad, bad, bad situation. But he says, all I need is Christ. Habakkuk writes, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vine. See, it's a bad situation, isn't it? Listen, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will trust in God's word. How do you think he learned best to trust God's word? By having a lot of cows in the stall or none? See, when you're weak, then you're trusting in Christ and you're really strong. And that's what we find in the life of Abraham, or Abram. He hadn't been renamed yet. But in the life of Abram. Because it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abram went to where God told him to go, even though he didn't know what was at the end of the line. He didn't know where we're going. God says, go this way. All right, guys, let's go. Pack up everything. Well, Mr. Abraham, where are we going? I don't know. I do not know, but I do know that we can trust the one who told me to go. And see, this is where Lot went wrong. Lot chose to live by sight instead of by faith. The narrative tells us that once Abram and Lot returned to Egypt and to Canaan, because of their great wealth that they had acquired, they couldn't stay next to each other. Wasn't enough grass. Wasn't enough water. So Abram says to his nephew Lot, "You look around now, and I love you so much, I tell you what, you choose where you want to go. If you want to go to the right, you'll have my blessing, and I'm going to go to the left. If you want to go to the left, you've got my blessing, because I love you, nephew. You go to the left, I'm going to go to the right." Well, Lot looked around, and from his perspective, and it would be from your perspective as well, because it would be from my perspective, you're going to choose what you think is going to be best. Oh, look at the fields. Plenty of room for my cattle and my horses and sheep. And oh, look at the water supply. We'll never have to worry about anyone being thirsty. Abram says, "All right, you go. I'm going to go over here." And what we find interesting here is that the scriptures say, there's a play on words here. The scriptures say that Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. It is so fantastic, so beautiful, so well watered that Moses, when he wrote this narrative down, compares to where Lot is going, he compares it to the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was beautiful, plentiful, and Moses, writing this narrative down, says that the place that Lot chose to go was just like the Garden of Eden. It was so beautiful. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and he set out toward the east. Lot lived among the cities of the plain, and he set up his tents near Sodom. The verse elaborates and tells us that Lot made his decision of where he wanted to live based upon sight. What does it look like instead of what did God say? It's interesting here. We find a play on these words elsewhere in the scriptures. We see that the scriptures say Lot looked up. Well, guess who else looked up? The scriptures in 1 Samuel say David looked up and saw Bathsheba. In Joshua it says Achan looked up at the gold and the silver that were before him. Judges chapter 16. Samson looked up, and there before him was Delilah. You see, we on this side of the narrative can see that something bad is fixing to happen to King David, to Achan, to Samson, and likewise now to Lot. Lot believed the lie. He believed what he saw instead of what God said. And he went to Sodom. That we will get to next week. Living by sight. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but let's just lay it on the line. Every one of us has done this. Every one. We have all, at one time or another, chose based upon our sight and not upon God's Word. Preacher, what do we do? Well, there's another one who looked up. And his name was Jesus. And Satan came to him one day and said, "Lift up your eyes, and I will show you the pleasures of the earth. Lift up your eyes, and I will give you all this. It will be your possession." And Jesus looked up, but he didn't look at what Satan promised. He looked up and saw the scriptures. For he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see what's happening? All of these saints in the Old Testament, they all look up towards the wrong thing. Failure, 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 failure. Oh, but when we are weak, that's when we're strong. And we have Christ, our righteous mediator. He mediates for you. He mediates for me. He mediates for the whole church. He looked up, but he looked towards God's Word. And he chose according to God's Word. All the other saints, and you and I, when we look up, we have looked to the lusts of our heart. But we need to look towards Christ. Oh, my friend, Jesus Christ is your Savior. He loves you. He may bring you into difficult times, but He brings you into those difficult times that you would learn not to lean upon your own understanding, as Solomon wrote, but instead to lean upon the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. Look to Christ. Be thankful for what He has done for you. Approach Him with a humble heart, but approach Him with a heart full of joy. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would not choose by sight, but instead we would choose by faith. We would choose by Your Word, every word that comes from the mouth of God. Give us grace to make those right choices. But in the times that we don't make those right choices, O Heavenly Father, pour out Your grace and mercy to us and forgive us in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's close our worship this morning as we stand and sing.